Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Michael, I'm really pretty excited about our guest tonight.
Very fun. Please tell us.
Well, as I think you probably know, we're in the final days leading up to the Bridge Walk.
Yes.
And as such, this culminates several months, really, of people all over the country doing all kinds of things to support our family in Cantalumba. We talked to, I think it was Mickey several weeks ago, about her doubling her goal. She had a goal of sponsoring 5 children, and she sponsored more than 10.
Wow.
Then, I know, it's amazing. And then Sherry's friend, who she told us about, who raised enough money to sponsor 41 children for a year. And just
wow.
The news is trickling in from all over the place, yard sales and bake sales and triathlons and all that sort of thing.
Great.
So it's really fun. So we thought, oh my goodness, how fun would it be in this final sprint, these last 5 days before the walk, what if every single one of us just made one more contribution of any size? So everyone who's receiving those emails, everyone who's on the mailing list and participating, what if each of us gave $5, $10, $100, whatever it was that we felt like we wanted to pitch in this week, if we all came together, how many more children could we sponsor before the walk?
Yeah.
So that is the fun campaign we're in the middle of right now. And in honor of that very fun venture, we have a very courageous, intrepid guest who has agreed to get up in the middle of the night to speak with us.
Wow. Shall we bring her on?
Let's bring her on.
Okay. 1 second here.
Tell me when she's unmuted.
Okay.
Hi, everyone.
And welcome, Teresa Kapenda from Indola, Zambia.
Hi, everyone there. Hi, Jen. Hi there.
Thank you so much for being with us.
I'm very grateful, Jen, to be on this show today. I couldn't believe that I would make it, but I have done it.
You
and
have
I'm
done
very,
it.
Very, 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 very excited, yes.
So it's true. Teresa and I did a number of tests. The first few of them were unsuccessful, but we finally figured out the technology. And so here we all are, us at 5 o'clock Pacific time and Teresa in the middle of the night.
Yes, it is in the middle of the night. In fact, it's very in the early hours, like 01 here in Zambia right now.
01 in the morning. Wow. So, Teresa, you heard me just talking about the our efforts to have folks here participate and to get the children sponsored in Cantalumba. And people often hear me talk about the project and about what's going on there. But I thought it would be so fun and very inspiring for people to hear directly from you what you feel like. How would you describe the impact that Living Compassion has had on the lives of those 800 children and the cooperative members who work there and really the whole community? I wondered if you could just say a few words about that for us.
Yes, Jen. The people that have sponsored every child that is on the team right now have done a very commendable job. Then it's amazing the 800 children, how they look and how they are. They are all very well fed and they look healthy. It's quite amazing, Jen. I recall years back before we started this project, there was a lot of malnutrition in Cantalumba. There was poverty there. But I'm glad to say this time that we have done a very good job with the children of Cantalumba. Even the ladies that are on the team, and the team that I work with, it's very amazing. You would see that most of them have done away with all the little businesses that they were doing of brewing the illicit beer. And engaging in all sorts of, ways of making ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all through Living Compassion that they look the way they look now. As you see them on the photos, they look healthy, they look neat, clean, and they're learning a lot, Jen, with all the projects that have come abroad.
We have
now the tailoring, yeah.
Can I just very quickly,
yeah.
I want before you continue, I wanted to say one quick word because that was a very important point that you made. You talked about the illicit beer that people used to brew, so that's a very, very strong liquor. We would call it liquor, alcohol, that's made out of corn, and it's very, it's sold very cheaply to people, and so people will buy it because it costs so little money, and they drink because for many people there isn't much hope, and so they drink a lot. And that before the Living Compassion arrived, many of the women were brewing that beer in desperation of trying to find some way to make a little bit of money to feed their children. And so what you were saying is they don't have to do that anymore. Now they actually have a way to support their families.
Yes, Jen, definitely. They have a way of supporting their family because through Living Compassion, they have their time that they're at the property most of the day. And at the end of the day, they have a meal after feeding the 800 children. And at the month end, they get something like something little which they can carry, they can take at home and buy food for their young ones.
Yes, exactly.
Unlike the olden days, Jen, where, yeah, unlike the olden days, Jen, when one had to brew the illicit beer. The beer itself is very toxic, Jen. Not recommended here in Zambia, but people do it because they did not have a choice.
And so then, Teresa, you started to talk about children, the education that children are getting, and I imagine you were going to mention Rose's program with the girls and her English and the Joy's new program and all of those things.
Yes, Jen. Living Compassion has done a lot on the education side, Jen. We have a girls' program in place there where we have a very dynamic woman who's a nurse. Her name is Rose. She's taken up the responsibility of training these little girls to be something in life. Other than going to school, they have started a program. They have started their tailoring program there. She shares her knowledge with these little ones. They make interesting bags out of millennial bags. They are now sitting at the machine. It's very amazing. And just recently we introduced English class, which is headed by a very talented young lady. Her name is Joy. And this class is doing very, very well. I remember when I went to the class on Friday, I slipped. Yes, my tongue slipped and talked in Bemba. And there's a little girl named Jane, after our very own Jane, who's with me on the program. Yeah. I spoke in Bemba, and then she said, no Bemba in here, only English. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And
so
this
go ahead.
Yeah. And this encouraged me a lot to say that Joy was doing something with these children.
Yeah.
And I went around to the ladies and explained this to them. Yeah.
Oh, that I bet you Beauty was very happy. Beauty is Jen's mother.
Yes, she was very happy, and she was saying even at home, that's how she's responding, even to her siblings.
Wow.
She's saying the same. No Bemba.
Teresa, I have to tell you, I have goosebumps right now. That is amazing. Because let me give just a little bit of background that Jen is now 5. She's 5 years old. She was born 5 years ago when we were there for one of our trips. And she has been in the Living Compassion food program since she was about 3, so maybe not quite 2 years. And when we started this pilot English program that Sister Phil started on our last trip, Jen was one of the children who was picked. I had nothing to do with picking her, just for the record. I didn't recommend her. The team picked her. And so what you're saying is that she, being in that English classroom, in that immersion all day, has taken her from, you know, knowing little bits of English here and there to having her primary, I'm trying to think what a word would be to use, the primary language that she wants to use is English, and that's exactly what we were hoping for.
Yes, Jen. That's what we are hoping for.
Yeah. And, of course, they will learn Bemba, too, because that's important for their culture and their heritage. But we want them to be so strong in English, as strong as you are, so that they would be able to have the kinds of opportunities that you have when they're adults.
Yes, Jen, yes.
Yep.
Correct.
So, Teresa, I cannot thank you enough for being with us this afternoon.
Jen, it's my pleasure to be on air with you. I'm very, very, very excited. I wish I would go on and on and on and on the whole night, the whole day with you. I know it's the whole day with you guys. But I need to rest.
I need to go back to bed. You have 800 children to
Yes.
tomorrow morning.
Yes, tomorrow morning, feeding the 800 children. My last words are on behalf of everyone here, the team, the children, we really, really thank you. All the partners who have made it possible that we make someone to be someone in life.
Yeah. And Teresa, I will tell you also from our side, I think I speak for myself, for the entire, what we call Sangha, the entire group of people who do this practice, that it's an enormous honor and pleasure and delight and joy for us to get to participate with such a beautiful, loving community in Cantawamba. So we are just as grateful to you. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much, Jen.
All right, well, you get some rest, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, love you all, America. Bye.
Love you all, Cantalumba. Lots of love. Good night.
Good night.
So, Michael?
Yes.
I'm hoping everyone will hop online and do whatever they want to do this week to make that final sprint holding hands to the finish line and see how many more of those adorable, fabulous children that Teresa was talking about we can get sponsored.
Sounds great. I'm going to jump in too.
Too. All right. We'll have a fabulous show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Teresa. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Justin, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. It's hard to be anything but good after hearing that, don't you think?
Yes, that was really special.
Yeah, it really was a good word for it, special. Moving is the word I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm really right with Jen on what she was saying at the end about, you know, Teresa is a very beautiful person. And it's a very beautiful community there that they have, and it's amazing, really, what's happening. And that just even brings tears to my eyes thinking about it.
Yes, it is a beautiful thing.
And we're all a part of that, too. As you know, it was fun to hear kind of both sides, you know, the gratitude coming from the African side and the gratitude coming from our side. And it's neat that we're all a part of it, all of us who are listening right now, and lots of other people are all part of that that's happening there in Cantawamba. And, you know, I was thinking as Teresa was talking, she started off talking about all the children and how different they look. And, you know, I've seen them, and it really is, it makes everything we do worthwhile, it feels like, to see those little shining faces and smiling faces in the beautiful, healthy bodies, knowing they have enough to eat. And it just, you know, it's just an amazing thing. And it really makes all of the work that we do worth it to me.
Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking about the gratitude that how could it not be a success with so much gratitude on both sides?
It's true, yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And so much love, so much willingness. Because, you know, I know, you know, it takes a heck of a lot of willingness on their part to do what they do. And then, of course, you know, on our side too. And it's, you know, it's a lot of work that goes into making happen what happens. And then, you know, it just, I like that it's the way life works, that we get to receive that in the form of gratitude.
Yes. Beautiful. Justin, I have some announcements here.
All right, good.
New quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies begins in October, and many folks know the program offers the opportunity to connect with a participant in another part of the country or even another country, and that's every week for 30 minutes of practice support. And the last day to sign up for the new quarter is October 1st.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Yes. Also coming up is the Rest and Be Thankful Weekend Retreat at the Monastery. That's October 19th through 21st. An opportunity to allow silence to give rise to the ever-present gratitude of our lives that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's time for meditation, group discussion, a workshop, and rest in the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was just a... Jen just had a guest on Open Air. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Talking about that. So anybody who wanted to go listen, it was fun hearing all about that and how it all works and everything.
Yes, definitely. And everyone is invited to the annual New Year's Retreat with Sherry. That's December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. It's our largest retreat of the year and includes meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, and free time to spend in nature on the center's spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Always a great time. And I'm really looking forward to the new venue. I think it looks like it's going to be neat.
Great. And as Sherry mentioned last week, private rooms with attached private baths.
Yeah, it's amazing what kind of a difference that sort of thing can make, eh?
Yes. Very fun. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
And, of course, we can't forget the bridge walk next weekend.
Yes. That's this coming Saturday, September 22nd. I'm not sure if it's still possible to register.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let that stop you from coming. Great. Shall we get started with our callers?
Sure, let's do.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
I just feel awful about my life because I have a chronic illness, and it's not like a bad divorce or something you can eventually move on or conquer with perseverance.
Mm.
And I just always feel awful that this is how my life ended. I just feel awful that this is how my life ended up. And I guess I'm looking to see if there's any key you can recommend, key that can open the door to get in a different place with this.
Uh-huh, yeah. So what I hear you saying is, it's not like somebody who has, you know, just sort of a circumstantial, fairly hard thing in their life that might change. You're stuck with this thing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're looking for a way out. So, Elizabeth, what would you say your relationship is with this thing that's going on?
Well, it feels like I'm just constantly tormented, or maybe it's EKC making me feel awful. I don't know, and maybe I just need to embrace it. My relationship, I'm like just being made to feel awful. I don't know. I feel awful.
You feel awful. Okay. Well, let me ask you something about it. So the thing itself, it produces like physical pain, some sort of physical, very difficult experience?
Yeah, it's disabling, and it's just an endless struggle with the physical conditions and health insurance nightmares and nightmares with the doctor. And
oh, I see. Okay. So it spirals out from the purely physical into everything you've got to go through to try to take care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And so you said you feel tormented by this. Now, if you look at it really closely, would you say that you're tormented by the actual condition and sort of what you have to do and the things that happen around that? Or would you say you're tormented by, the best way to say it, by sort of the way conditioning is using this against you, if you can see the difference?
I see the difference. I don't know, because it's just like a generalized awful feeling about my life. Like,
right, but that's interesting, because that's, I noticed you said that earlier too. It's an awful feeling about your life.
Yes.
But what you mean by that is it's not an awful feeling about your life. It's an awful set of thoughts and conclusions that are being drawn about your life that's so awful. Would you agree?
I'm not sure. I don't know, because the experience is just like, and maybe this is where I'm stuck, but the experience is just like just feeling awful about my life, like existential cloud, like just a dark cloud over my life, just awful about my life. I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Well, the part that I'm very sympathetic with you, and I think there is a way out. I know there is a way out. Let's see if we can kind of pick at it a little bit and see if we can start to approach it. So the thing that's curious and interesting to me about what you're saying is you're having an awful experience about your life. Now, if you were to say that you're having an awful experience, I think everybody in the world would go right there. Say, oh, yeah, got that. Because you've got the thing that's going on, and then you've got everything you have to do to try to take care of yourself. And, you know, pretty much everybody, it sounds, you know, I don't know what the thing is, but it sounds like it's awful. So everyone would agree with that. But the about your life thing, that starts to me, when I hear that, I start to see a progression away from your actual experience with what's going on into a set of conclusions, maybe some, you know, beliefs and assumptions about what all that means, about what is going on, that's we might say is adding suffering to pain.
I guess you're right, but I just have an awful, I just feel awful about that, like my life ended up like this.
Yeah, well, and that's interesting too. I know that it's ended up, I mean, because it just sounds so final, as if there's no possibility. And I know that it probably seems that way. But so to back it up a little bit, so obviously you're familiar with this thing that we call egocentric karmic conditioning, or conditioned mind.
Yeah, and that's where I'm not sure where I'm getting, you know, bamboozled or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I think I can guarantee you're getting bamboozled. Now, this is not to take away from your actual experience, which I'm sure is very difficult. You know, the actual physical experience is happening, and then the whatever it is, the frustration or the angst or the anxiety or whatever about dealing with the doctors and the insurance companies and all that. So I'm not taking away that at all. But I think the bamboozlement is happening when you've got all that really hard stuff, and then conditioning is adding to that, adding suffering on top of kind of the pain that's there.
What is the part that's conditioning? Because I can't tell.
Well, if you like, what kind of thoughts do you have about this thing? Like if you were to observe the thoughts that are happening, what kind of things do you say to yourself about this condition that's going on?
It's more like a sense of just a dark cloud over my life.
Okay.
I know how to counter specific voices. I mean, I know how to work more with the voices, but it's just a sense of...
I see. Okay, that's good. So you've had experience with hearing the voices, like a voice that's trying to, mess up your life in some way. You have experience with hearing the voice, recognizing it in the voice, and then letting go of the voice?
Or observing it to the nth degree.
Yeah, and not believing it?
Yeah, I can disidentify from a voice.
There you go. Okay, great. Well, you're way on the right track then. So here's what you'll have to look and see for yourself, of course, but here's what I think is happening. Is that all that's going on is there are voices talking to you about this chronic condition that you have in exactly the same way that the voices that you've noticed in the past were talking about whatever they're talking about. The only difference here is you believe the voices. So if you believe the voices, then you can't see the voices. That's the trick. You following me?
So when I have that sense or feeling of feeling awful about my life, then that's a voice.
Yeah, it's probably yes. It could be even several voices, several different kind of angles. But in some way, I can just about guarantee you, because this is the way it always goes. It especially goes this way around things that are painful. People describe exactly what you're going through, like, divorces, deaths, physical problems. You know, whenever there's something really difficult that happens, condition just piles on top of that. Because people tend to believe whatever they're told about difficult things. This is how we're trained to be. So I think what's going on is that dark cloud is being created by egocentric karmic conditioning. You know, it's a story, basically. There's a story about your life that you're being told, that you're believing. You're being told, for one thing, that it sounds like it's pretty much all over. You know, this is how it's ended up. It's horrible. It's awful. You know, there's this dark cloud. And all of that is being constructed in a really particular way by the voices. The challenge is that because the experience itself is so difficult, it's hard not to believe all the story and all the conclusions that are getting drawn about that. You know, so the voices are talking to you about it. You believe the voices. You think that that's you and your experience. And so you get pulled into this world that is full of suffering and an awfulness that doesn't come automatically from the chronic condition.
So feeling awful about my life is a story created by EKC?
Yes. Now, again, I want to make that distinction. I'm not saying there's no such thing as a really difficult experience is happening. So there's no such thing. I'm not saying that there's no such thing as the pain that's involved, for example. But that's actually happening, right?
Yeah, yes.
You haven't talked about pain. Am I in the right ballpark when I use that word? That's painful?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. It's definitely painful. Okay, and debilitating, you said. So, you know, it limits what you can do. So there's those actual experiences that are happening. Those are physical experiences. So they're happening in your muscles or your bones. You know, they're happening when you try to stand up or when I don't know what triggers it, but when you try to walk or whatever. Then you have an actual experience in your body that is resulting from this chronic condition that you have. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you know, it's sort of dangerous to use this word, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, if anything in it is real, you know, we put quotes around real, that's it. You know, these physical experiences that are going on. But that's not all that's happening. If that's all that was happening, you would be experiencing pain, but you would not be experiencing suffering. You would not have a dark cloud of your life. You would just have this very difficult physical condition.
Oh, okay.
You see?
The feeling awful about my life, that's a story from EKC.
Yes, you got it. That's it. It's totally made up. It's not real. It's not true. And it takes something that's really hard and makes it 100 times worse.
So feeling awful about my life is not real. It's not true.
It's a story.
Okay. Just really quick. I guess I usually thought of a story as when more like, oh, I'm a victim and they did that to me, or, you know, they have this and I don't have that, or, you know, like one of those classic EKC stories, victim and deprivation or whatever. But I didn't think feeling awful about something is also a story.
Yeah, well, again, there's that distinction. There's feeling awful in a sense of like being in pain. That's not a story. But there's a quote feeling awful, which is not actually a feeling. I said this at the beginning, I think. It's a thought. It's a story. It's a series of sentences that are being said in your mind that you believe to create a reality that doesn't have anything to do with, it's not here. It doesn't have anything to do with what's actually going on. And it's a story that's full of awfulness. So what you can do, just on a kind of on a practical level, you know, sort of how to work with this, you know how to work with the voices. So it's the same thing. So with any voice, you know, generally when we start working with it, we're not aware of it. It's just talking in the background, and we just think, that's me thinking. Right?
Right.
So I think that's what's going on here. So there's no awareness that this thing is being told to you. You just are believing it hook, line, and sinker. So now that you're aware that that may not be true, I can tell you that it's not true. So you can start to look for it and see, well, how is this quote feeling being created? What are the voices saying to you that are making this happen? You know, what are you believing about things that aren't true? And I think you'll be amazed when you see through this, because you will, because now you'll be really looking for it and paying attention to it. I think you'll be amazed at how simple it is once you see it, and how much it is like victim, perpetrator, or all those other kind of stories that you mentioned a little while ago. It's just some classic story and that you haven't seen through yet.
Well, thank you. Thank you for liberating me from an awful, awful tyrant of a story.
Yeah, well, I hope, good luck. You know, it may be a little piece of work, because, you know, it sounds like it's really believable for you. But, I'm sure. If you're just kind of looking at it from that attitude of mine, I bet you before too long it'll unravel before your eyes.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Okay, thank you. Good luck.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air. Justin, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Justin.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Jill.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little choppy, but I think we'll be all right.
A little choppy. Okay, yeah, just let me know.
Okay.
I just wanted to call because I just spent a month at the monastery, and I guess I'm about 2.5 weeks back in the world.
It's quite an adventure out there, isn't it?
It is quite an adventure, yes. It is quite. And before I left, I had this excitement about this radical no-suffering plan.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Where I was just no more suffering. I was tired of it. I was hanging up the suffering gloves. I'm done. Done with suffering.
And how's that going?
It's actually not. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
All right.
I mean, I feel pretty happy.
Yay.
And I know it's crazy. It is crazy. So I feel like...
When you say crazy, I think you mean wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny how that would seem crazy, but I think for a lot of people that would seem crazy.
Yeah, I guess whoever picked that word thinks that it's kind of crazy, but it's just not what I expected. I mean, I expected... I don't know what I expected, but it's been... well, you know what happened is I guess I thought that... like practice was some place that I had to go, like either in my mind or like somewhere that I had to sort of go somewhere to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a place.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm doing now is like, it's more like a jacket that you just sort of put it, but you just put on whatever you're doing. Like you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to change anything.
Yeah. Well, the place is everything, isn't it? It's everywhere.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that really clicked somehow for me. And so now, you know, even when I'm slouching, it's whatever. I don't have to be anything to be practicing. It doesn't look like anything. It just looks like not suffering, I guess.
Yeah, so let me reflect that, because that seems important to me. So it doesn't look like anything. I think what you mean by that is it doesn't follow a certain set of techniques or it doesn't meet any sort of preconceived ideas about what it would be like or meet any kind of standards. It's not something that's separate from anything. It's just not suffering.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I guess I felt like I had to change something about what I was doing or the way I was being, or so that change was, I don't know, that I had to go, to change something. And it turns out I don't have to change anything.
You don't have to change anything. And yet we might say, tell me if you agree with this, sort of you did something to make this happen.
I know. And that is what is, again, that word crazy. Like, I guess what I got a lot from the month at the monastery was just training. It just felt like, just training myself, just training my attention.
Uh-huh.
to come back to the breath. And so all of that training has really served me in the time since I've been back. And also, too, just keep training. You know, I've been really diligent about, and I think it's actually quite thrilling to just practice during the day. And again, instead of like, you know, practicing someplace like where my cushion is or where the books mm-hmm. are or where my recorder is, or, you know, it's actually everywhere. Like, no matter where I am, I can, you know, breathe and drop the story and just practice.
Yeah, it's gotten completely opened up, it sounds like. So because there's no particular expectations about it, and because there's nothing you have to change,
right.
There's no, life isn't getting divided up into this and that, you know, places
exactly.
where you can practice or places where you can't. And so it's suddenly available to you everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like it's just something that is, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, there's something in this that is really kind of fascinating and mysterious to me, which is, I'm projecting that it's almost, the feeling is almost like, tell me if this is so, it's kind of like, rather than you making this happen, it's kind of happening to you. Is that kind of the feeling?
Yeah.
And yet, this is just a very interesting thing to me right now. And yet, at the same time, we could say you have a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a matter of fact, I mean, it followed from your decision to come to the monastery for a month. It also followed from your decision that you're not going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just decided that you weren't going to suffer, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And also one thing that has opened up for me is that the choice to not suffer has just become very clear, like
mm-hmm.
what it means and what it is. In fact, I just was saying this at group last night, where it just feels like now in every moment I can sort of, I don't want to use the word see, but now there's two choices,
mm-hmm.
you know, now there's two choices where a lot of times, I guess that's the majority of my experience now, is that it feels like that not suffering is actually a choice I can make, where before it felt like either I had to sort of figure something out with what my mind, you know, like the thoughts were sort of like, what is this, and sort of get in there and, you know, where, you know, look at like, where am I suffering? I don't know. It just, there was something that, I guess some of the little fancy tricks that conditioning would pull on me as far as how to draw me into conversation,
mm-hmm.
I really got to look at during the month and see what they are in some ways. And now I don't know, I just feel a lot of strength, or I don't know if strength is the right word, but just I can make that choice now a lot most of the time.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the me, kind of the me in quotes that you were talking about, that conditioning was in a relationship. You were saying, you know, conditioning with its fancy tricks could pull me into, you know, all these places. That me is not there.
Yes.
Instead,
me, yes.
I'm there. You know, the mm-hmm. you're using those two different kind of two different ways of describing. You know, there's the me, you know, the separate suffering entity that's in relationship with conditioned mind and is really a part of conditioned mind. And
mm-hmm.
then there's, we might say, I, you know, with capital letters. There's that which is not separate, not in relationship with conditioned mind, utterly clear about life and how it works and what practice is without needing to think about it and figure it out, and not dividing the world up into dualistic sort of things, like, you know, it works here, doesn't work there. It's just in life as it is, as a whole thing.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's kind of the, I don't know, we could talk about probably the central thing that's going on in several different ways, but that's one of them anyway, is the person who you are conditioned to be, who listens to the stories of conditioned mind, is not who is operating your life right now. It's this other possibility that you found when you came to the monastery.
Yes. And what's interesting is that even when I'm in conditioned mind, there's still something else there that feels like center that can just be okay with that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's even gotten to the point where even that feels because it's very, you know, hard to stay just with my breath all the time.
Uh-huh. So even that is not getting divided up into, like, identified, not identified. So
yeah,
you might be...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you might be involved with conditioning, but even that's being held. The me that is in that, believing that, suffering over that, is being held by this I that's larger, even while that's going on.
Yeah, like, for example, today, and I'm doing, like, I have reminders to do recording and listening on my phone, and I leave my desk and I go downstairs and I record and listen, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times during the day, which I didn't do before.
Yay.
And, you know, sometimes I'll do another meditation at night in addition to the morning. I'm like, I'm doing custody of the eyes a lot more. It's, you know, it's this, the, so the tools, the habits that I've, you know, have built at the monastery, I've kept, you know, them here in a lot of ways, and they've displaced these other habits that I have that I think has really helped me. But this recording I made today was just sort of like, I'm suffering. I'm so excited. You know, I was like, let's look at, like, how did I get here? Because I knew it hadn't been going on for very long. It, like, had just happened. And I was like, wow, this, I don't know what happened. And it was just the funniest recording because, just that spirit of inquiry. You know, I have this, that phrase now taped on the mirror in my bathroom. It's like every morning when I go in the bathroom, you know, I'm like, I just look in the mirror and it just says, good morning, spirit of inquiry, you know?
Yeah.
It's very
inspiring because I was tracking along with all of that even before you said that, you know, because I'm looking at, well, gosh, how is this happening? It's just amazing. And, you know, what I hear is you went to the monastery for a month, you came back, you're sitting, you're going to group, you're recording, listening,
yeah,
you're taping things on your mirror.
Yeah.
Probably lots of other things, too, you haven't mentioned. And those things, you know, it's just the reality. Those two things go together. The more we give to it, the more we get.
Mm-hmm. And I got here when I got here. I mean, I think I've been doing this practice for 6 years or something, five years, and it's not, you know, and who knows how long I'll be here. I don't know that either, but it just, I just wanted to call because I feel very excited.
Yay.
About all this. And, it was just such an incredible experience to be there. And, I just feel a lot of benefit from practice.
Yeah, that's neat. Well, I think it's really helpful for all of us listening also is to see how that works. You know, to kind of make that commitment, you know, use the tools, and really the magic just sort of follows on its own, and that it's exciting when that happens. It's, it sounds very energizing and enlivening, and it makes a life that works out of one that doesn't work, really.
Yeah. And I know that I don't know, this just feels different this time. Like, I feel like I've had periods of practice when I've done this intensive thing in some ways and it feels very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it felt exciting before. I don't know, it just feels alive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as we keep expanding and growing, it the container keeps getting larger, doesn't it? Every time it does, it's thrilling.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it feels like. Good. That's great.
Well, thanks
a lot for sharing that
with us. Really fun to hear.
Yeah, and thanks for doing the show. It's great to talk to you.
Come back soon.
All right, I will do that.
Okay.
I'll report back. Thanks,
okay.
Justin.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Michael. Bye.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jill. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the pleasure of being joined by Justin, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Justin, we're going to break here for an important message, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Justin.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Justin.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. I was calling in to kind of just, to participate, but just
mm-hmm.
a second.
Mm-hmm.
I had a practice plan where I was going to listen to the radio show every week and call in, and if I didn't get in, that was fine because I was listening. And that practice is really great.
Yeah, love those practice plans.
Yeah, and other parts of the plan have come through, and I'm just so excited. But I wanted to share about an awareness that I had, something that kind of came up, I guess it was last week, but I've really been working with it and looking at it. And basically what kind of got revealed to me was a belief that I had about that thinking about doing something was the same thing as doing it.
Mm.
So conditioning had this thing where I noticed it, the content of it, I'll say briefly, but I noticed it, I get up early every morning now and I do this, I got into this dancing thing, so I practice in the morning before I go to work, and that's my exercise. And I was doing it, and it's a routine that I kind of know. But that doesn't mean that you don't still do it, like, with gusto, because if you do it with gusto, you're really going to enjoy it and have fun, and I'm really going to have the experience. Now, the reason I dance is because it feels good to dance, right?
Uh-huh,
so I was doing it, and I was doing it, and I realized I was thinking about something else while I was doing it.
Mm.
And I also realized that I got this message of, I know this one. You know, the message that came through was, oh, I know this one. You know, like, I know this routine,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was amazing because I do try to be real present when I'm dancing, and it's good to, you know, that's how you have fun. You don't have
mm-hmm.
fun unless you're present. And it occurred to me that if that were true, if I let that voice in to say, you know this one, you can go unconscious, kind of, but then I miss the whole experience that I woke up early for, which was to be dancing and to be feeling good.
Yeah, that's so good to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, of course, conditioning is trying to do that all the time with everybody. You know, that's, you know, we could almost talk about that as a definition of suffering, is not being there for the life that is actually here.
Yeah.
And so it's constantly talking to us about things that aren't here, so we won't be here, and we miss the joy and the aliveness of the life that is here if we'll be present to it.
Yes, and, you know, the metaphor, yes, and the metaphor is not lost on me. So I can see that, you know, if my life is a dance and I am not present for this life, I get it, you know.
That's great,
Yeah, but it was really incredible because it really does lead into all of these. Like, I could see that. Like, I was like, okay, I see that pattern, and I experienced that pattern. And so where else is that pattern in my life? And I can find it many, many places. And
mm-hmm.
it's just so interesting. And even with practice, you know, I will, like, I've started a million email classes and haven't finished a million. I think she's probably given a million by now.
Close.
but at least it feels that way. So, and it's always because it's like, there really will be conditioning will kind of come and be like, well, you know this, which is, of course, not true. Or even if it is, like, I know the assignment, or I know where this might be going, that's so different than actually experiencing it.
It really is.
That's not the same thing at all.
No, just like with the dancing, because it's a brand new experience every single time, isn't it?
Right.
That's what's so fun
about
it, really, because it's a brand new experience. You may have done the actual routine, you know, 1,000 times, but it's a brand new experience every single time, and that's what's that's, I mean, I'm projecting that's why you like it. It's because you get to be present in it again, even though, you know, in some ways the routine actually helps because you don't have to think about that and worry about that. You can just flow into it and you can just be present in your body as you're doing that.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can improvise and I can try something new and I can see, you know, and I can play with it, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, like, email classes and everything is the same way. Like, and what's funny is, you know, thinking of another retreat I did where I think we looked at this a lot, this idea that, like, intellectually, conditioning will say, you know what this experience is.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so not the same thing as having the experience.
It is so not the same thing. It's completely bogus, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Because
exactly. we can't actually know anything. Especially, you know, you talk about something. So, I mean, that's designed to take you to another place where you're not experiencing it. You know, so there's this whole experience that's available to you through, like, let's say, participating in email class, and it just talks you out of that with one sentence, and it takes you off into something that is just not here. And then, so you're having this. It's really kind of it's like being a ghost or something. You know, you're just having this imaginary life over here in this imaginary place, being this imaginary person, completely missing what life is giving you in this moment to experience.
Yes, yeah. And so even something like getting up in the morning to dance, like, you know, that was a process of like setting the alarm clock and figuring out how to do that. And conditioning really wanted to say it didn't matter if I did that. But it did matter, you know, because I'm not dancing if I'm not getting up dance.
Yeah.
I know it might sound crazy, but I think you know what I mean.
It's I do. It's critical.
Yeah. You know,
it's critically important, isn't it? Because it's not about the dancing. As you're saying, it's about your whole life. I mean, you want to live your whole life in the way that you're learning how to do your dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to have the same level of presence and the same ability to choose and willingness to choose your experience over those thoughts that conditioning is dropping in all the time and all the deceptions that it's trying to perpetrate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So one thing I noticed, too, that I really like in what you said is, you know, so you saw that it said, well, I know this one. I know this, so I don't have to be present to it. And the next step you went to was, okay, now that's interesting. Where else is that in my life? And to me, that's just such a snapshot of what practice is all about. You know, it's taking, you're seeing that, you know, the way we suffer is always the same. You know, it's the same process that's happening over and over again. And then broadening out, kind of using conditioning made a little blunder there. You know, it did something and you saw it. And so now you can use that to your advantage and expand it out and take it from one very specific thing, you know, which is your dancing, and broaden it out to your life and experience the freedom everywhere that you experience in that one moment as you let that go.
I'm so thankful for, you know, the practice so that I can like have these moments where things opened up, you know. Because I can see that there are all these other moments when I'm asleep, you know, still or have been asleep, and it's like, you know, the possibility. Knowing that I have the possibility is like the best freedom ever. Like, even though I'm not free from, you know, conditioning yelling at me and blah, 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 and all that, even though I'm not completely free from that, like, at least I know I have the possibility. And that is like, that's the best feeling that I can have and I can think of, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. It's kind of irrelevant whether or not the suffering is actually ended.
Yeah.
Because it's the place you're coming from. You know, it's the process you're doing with your life that brings the joy and the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they you know, who knows? I mean, there may be no end to the looking at conditioning and watching what it does and letting that go and, you know, everything that you're talking about. But that's not a problem because that's a joyful undertaking if what we're doing is if we're doing practice with it instead of just believing it.
Yeah, it feels like it just feels, you know, like a mystery story or something. Like it just feels like I never saw that before. Where did that come from? Oh, that's really interesting. You know, like, oh, I've been doing that. Oh, really? You know?
Yeah, that's a nice image, actually, because, you know, a detective story wouldn't be any fun unless there's kind of problems and troubles and, you know, things that needed to be worked through. It's kind of the same with us.
Yeah, and if it's like if you start out the mystery story and going, I know this one, well, what's the fun of that?
Yeah, what's the point?
So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, call in and share that, and, you know, I'm just really enjoying participating in all the things that I can participate in, and, you know, it makes a difference, you know, saying I'm going to participate or thinking that, well, I kind of know what it would be like, and then actually participating.
Yeah, it's huge. It's what it's all about, really.
Yeah, yeah. And my life is, you know, transformed when
mm-hmm.
I'm participating, and it's great. So,
mm-hmm.
so thank you.
We're very lucky. Thanks a lot, Lisa. Thanks for participating.
Okay thanks, Justin. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air. That was fun and inspiring.
It was, yeah. They all have been for me this evening.
Yeah.
It's amazing, really. Yeah, I just love hearing how practice works.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great support for me, I noticed. And we have another caller here.
All righty.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay, let's try the next one, Justin.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Justin. Hey, Michael.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I joined the call so late, I'm absolutely shocked I'm on the air. So I heard the previous callers talking about just coming out of a month of teaching practice at the monastery, and I'm just on my way down from Canada to do another 2 months stint.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go. So I'm in Idaho at Lake Pendore. It's stunningly beautiful.
Wow. So you're actually driving down right now.
What's that? What's that?
You're actually driving down here right now.
I'm driving down from Canada as we speak. That's good, love. That's good, yeah. I'm driving down right now. Yeah, I've spent a whole day on the road. I got 3 more days on the road, and I'm in transit.
That's so fun. It's like making a pilgrimage.
It is. It's so fascinating you said that, because I just recently saw a movie about a pilgrimage. A 45-day pilgrimage in Europe somewhere. They do it on foot. And I felt like that's kind of what I drive down to the monastery. It feels like a pilgrimage.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Cool.
So many practice opportunities on the way down, you know, that arise.
So is there something you want to look at today, Todd?
Yeah, I was just looking at I think it was 2 callers ago about how conditioning uses that content of suffering as the really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got caught in that. I came out of the monastery in the spring, and then in the summer I just got caught in it. Did a whole bunch of content and a whole bunch of backlash and just, you know, wow. It's like the previous caller said, it's just this giant mystery story. It keeps revealing itself in so many different ways. It for me, it's like, wow, it would be like never ending.
Yeah, well, it's conditioning would love to have it that way, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. But
mm-hmm.
on that, it's just the same process, just tweaking the sensations a bit or the words a bit. But, oh, it's that same process of suffering. And I've come to a place a lot of times that previous caller was talking about, just knowing I can choose not to suffer in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can choose, in the way we were talking about just a moment ago, you can choose to not be the person who is involved with that.
Yes.
You can instead choose to be, I don't know how you would say it for you, but for me it would be maybe, you know, the compassionate awareness that is holding that person while he's going through it.
That's exactly it, yes. And with enough, you know, just the ongoing practice and enough practice support, I'm able to do that. I'm able to get some distance from the story that you're talking about. The stories are ongoing.
Yeah. I don't know if you, I think you may not have heard the first caller this evening, but we,
no.
One of the things we were talking about there was the difference between suffering and pain.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what you're talking about here, too, that, you know,
yes.
conditioning will, you know, is doing whatever it does, and or life is just happening, and it's often painful.
Yeah.
So I don't know what those contents were, but it's probably stuff like that. You know, you left the monastery in the spring, summer happened, all these painful things happening, and you know, it's really painful. And and what conditioning does is it takes us out of the pain and just the simple experience of the pain into a world of meaning and stories, and that's where we really suffer.
Yes, that's what I really experienced this summer. And, there were times where I was really super, super identified, which I hadn't been for a long time.
mm-hmm.
You know, because I do get identified with the monastery, but for me, there's so much practice support there of just practicing being present. I don't get as identified there as I do out in the other world.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through some periods this summer. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. How can condition really hit me over and you know, I do always come out the other side, but boy, when I'm in it, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I would bet you that because you're doing practice, when you look back on it now, you can see or you think that, well, that was actually really helpful.
Yeah. You know what, David, Justin, that's a great point. Yeah, it was really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't wish on anybody.
No.
But it is really, really helpful.
It is.
Because we have to see how it does what it does. We just have to. I mean, if it's not doing anything, great. But nobody's having that experience,
Definitely. You
know. So, given that it's doing what it does, and the result of it doing what it does, and our unconsciousness to that, is a deep, just tragic level of unhappiness that I think a lot of people are experiencing.
Yeah.
That, that's just part of the deal. That's we have to see how it does what it does, because that gives us the leverage to be able to step back and say no. To make that being that decision place that Jill was talking about, say no, that's not me. I'm not going there. That is not the world that I want to live in.
Yeah, and it's funny because the last 2 weeks after I went through these, I always call them karma storms. After I weathered all those karma storms, I could feel them coming on, and I was just it was interesting. I was actually cutting them off at the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Going.
Yeah. Because you're aware of the process kicking up instead of waking up in the middle of it, you're aware of it kicking up, and so you can let it go. And that's my experience too. You know, the earlier in the process we can see it, the more power we have to make a different choice.
Yeah, and that's a really new experience for me, catching it much, much earlier rather than you said right in the middle of it, going, wow, I'm really identified. I'm suffering immensely right now.
Yeah, that's neat. You know, kind of stepping back, you know, looking at your summer. You know, what I make up about it is, it's almost like kind of being in training or going to school or something. It's these waves of things happening, and you're going under, and you're going, and then you're bobbing up back up to the surface, and you're going under again, you're bobbing back up to the surface. But every time that happens, you see more about how it works.
Yes.
And then by the end, you know, after you go through that a few times, you're primed. You're toughened up.
Yeah.
And you've got your eyes open, and instead of just, you know, getting clobbered by anything that comes by, no matter how kind of ridiculous it is, you're there, you're present to it, and so you're able to be in that larger place we were talking about instead of just getting sucked right into it.
Exactly, yeah, that was great. So I'm really glad I got an opportunity to kind of participate tonight, and I'll see you on the weekend. I'll see you at the Bridge Talk.
All right, are you going straight there?
No, I'll see you Friday at the monastery, and then I'll go with...
And then you're coming on down. All right, great. Well, looking forward to it, Todd.
Me too, Justin. Thanks again. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, I will do. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You've been listening to Open Air. It's been a pleasure having you with us, Justin.
Thank you. Likewise, Michael.
Yeah. And I'll see you and many other folks this Saturday at the Bridge Walk.
All right, I can't wait. See you Saturday.
Okay. Thanks, Justin.
Take care. Have a nice evening.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.